I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
NYYST. This is New York, Yankee sports talk, yep. Swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee sports talk, woo. Christian and Chris, of course SGR. This is New York, Yankee sports talk, call me New York, Yankee sports talk. Record rain or shine, grab your shades and umbrellas, NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 545 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, alongside my co-host, Chris.
You.
Victory lap time.
Before we even get into it, dude, I was going to ask you before we started recording, but did you see how the fucking Rays won that game today?
No, I checked out. Baseball today, and I didn't see it, but I said to you guys in the chat, I was like, are you serious?
3-1, two outs in the ninth, runner on. I don't even know who was up. Hits the ball to left field. The left fielder catches it as his glove goes over the fence. The fence knocks the ball out of his glove for a 2-run homer.
The only bad thing about this weekend for the Yankees is that they have actually lost a game in the standings to the Tampa Bay Rays. They are now 5 back in the loss column. It's frustrating because the Yankees did exactly what you wanted them to do this weekend. They played really good baseball. They took the series. They have kind of put the Red Sox in their rearview mirror as far as the regular season is concerned. And somehow they lost ground in the American League East.
I'll be honest with you. Obviously, I'm a pessimist when it comes to the Yankees, but I saw a scenario where they got swept this weekend. Maybe took one. So for them to walk away with 3 games, they took care of business. This Rays team is just fucking... They're frustrating, man.
There's a lot of people that don't believe in the Rays. That they think that this is not a team that's built for a deep October run.
They're not.
But here's what the frustrating part is that if they keep, and right now there's 25 games left to play, the Yankees are 5 out, they only play the Rays 4 more times this year, including a doubleheader, so that's going to get a little tricky there. If they keep the Yankees from home field advantage in the American League playoffs, if they keep the Yankees from having the first round bye, that's going to affect the Yankees in a big way. I don't like the Yankees having to play this wild card series because regardless of what you think of the Red Sox, and honestly, I respect them, the Yankees are better. Let's be honest about that. You saw it on the field this weekend, and I know we didn't get their best. It's not Crochet, it's not Gray, but they didn't get a healthy Max Fried. They didn't get Gerrit Cole. They didn't see Aaron Judge. So you can lay that same thing down for the Yankees. And the Yankees still went out there this weekend, and they put boots to asses. That's exactly the phrase that has happened, especially in the last 2 days here. You can be frustrated all you want on Friday evening, and I was away this weekend. I came home to just in time for the start of game two on Saturday. They didn't score. They got one home run, a solo shot from Paul Goldschmidt. But how did they win? The pitching. And that's been the story for the Yankees for the majority of the season, especially since Aaron Judge has been out. They got the great pitching. Cam Schuller wasn't sharp. He walked five guys, did enough to get it to the key pieces in the bullpen. They win. They go to the game on Saturday afternoon. They don't score. They lose 6-0. And now you're really getting frustrated because there's back-to-back games here where they scored one run in the biggest series that they've played so far this year. And then what did they do last night? They went out there and they scored a bunch of runs late in the game that they put the game away. They didn't have to use David Bednar. And then they went out there today and they absolutely curb-stomped the Boston Red Sox late in this game. And that showed something to me that I haven't seen a lot out of the Yankees this year, because this game today was trending to be another one of these frustrating games where you want to put your head through the wall because they're not scoring. And the exact moment that you probably got that feeling is when Luis Garcia Jr. grounds into a double play. Mm-hmm. And if you just look at the stat line or the on the app there and says Luis Garcia Jr. grounds into double play, and you're like, oh, but it doesn't tell the whole story of what happened. You can't hit a ball harder than he did. That's the frustrating part about baseball. You have first and second, one out. Your hottest hitter is up in a hitter's count. He smokes the ball, double play, and you're like, they won't even come close to scoring again the rest of the day.
Yeah, man. Look, this is the next best team after the Yankees, right? To me, regardless of who they saw pitching, regardless of injuries, I think they made it clear that they are leaps and bounds better than the Red Sox. That doesn't mean they're going to automatically beat them in the postseason, but it does show the difference between where they're at and where the Red Sox are. My biggest concern is not even the Rays. I think maybe I'm wrong by saying this. I just don't see the Rays as a built as a postseason team. Maybe they are. Maybe I'll eat my words. I don't know. The biggest thing that scares me is I don't think we have a manager that is capable of taking this team on a significant run, having to play that extra series. I just don't trust him. I don't like having that extra series. I think winning this division is still somewhat possible, but I think it's detrimental for them. It's crucial for them to win it. They have to figure out a way, and you really can't knock the Yankees, man. Look, they've been hurt. Some games are so fucking frustrating. Like, man, today I saw red when that lineup came out and Rice isn't in it and Jones isn't in it. I saw red. This team, this organization continues to frustrate me with all of this shit, but at the end of the day, they're winning baseball games. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they have the second best, record in baseball since like July 9th after the Red Sox? I'm pretty sure I saw that graphic. Maybe it was in the American League, I don't know. But they're winning baseball games. So, you almost can't look. There's a lot of games this team should have won. Maybe they lost 2-1, 1-0, and it's frustrating. And that's going to be the difference. But when you really look at it, they're not playing bad baseball overall. They're 19 games over 500. In any other division, they're up how many games? It's like every year the Yankees just have one thorn in their side in this division. This year it happens to be the Rays, and the Rays just don't lose. And I don't really fully get it.
Well, that's why I say, like, if the Yankees had a healthy Aaron Judge, they'd be in first place by at least two or three games. I think he causes an eight-game swing in this division.
Which is fascinating. Which is fascinating. Because, like I said, it's not like the Yankees have a losing record over the last month and a half.
Think of all the games they've lost because they couldn't score runs.
If they had a fully healthy offense this year, and we talked about it last time I was on a couple weeks ago, if they had a fully healthy offense with the way this pitching staff has stepped up, and you know, if you want to segue into what Will Warren did today, that's his best outing as a Yankee, in my opinion. He plopped his balls on the mound and said, "You're going to get my best stuff today." He took him into the eighth inning. He kept this team in it long enough to have.
I'm glad that they let him go out there for the eighth.
Me
I know
too.
He got nicked for the run in the eighth, but I'm glad.
No, I was fine with it. I was fine with it, and you know, he kept this team in it long enough to have those breakout innings and to eventually not have to hand the ball over to one of your big guys and give him more rest.
I think what was important about the game today is that, like you said, you got Bednar another day off. You were able to win without using Blackburn, without using Hedrick, who Hedrick is scaring me a little bit right now because he's become more human in his last couple of outings. And that's one thing that you have to worry about is usage with a guy like Hedrick, man. He's out there almost every single night. And even though yesterday it was nice in game two that you were able to put some distance between yourself and Boston, that you didn't have to use Bednar, you still had to burn Hedrick. You still had to use Blackburn in that game. So that's why winning this game in such a rout and not even having to think about using any of those three guys was just as important as the win itself. That's why some wins in the, you can say you can win all these 2-1 games, but eventually it's going to catch up to you. And we've seen that happen to the Yankees over the course of the year where they've had to, I don't want to say punt games, but try to close games without their closer being available. We saw that in Chicago where you think about it, you could have had Bednar available for even one of those games. And if this division comes down to a game or two, you could look at all those games where the Yankees lost because they had to use Bednar 3 out of 4 days. They had to use Hedrick 3 out of 4 days. And they were going to lesser names in the bullpen. And then they ended up losing these games in extra innings. You know, that's why we've talked about this. And just to even take a flyer on somebody at the deadline, somebody that had something there. Even, you know, Jake Bird was not very good here, right? We can all admit that. Nobody misses Jake Bird here. But to take some, but I watch Jake Bird, right? And I, as a Yankee, and I say, this guy has stuff. I'm not going to say that, because just correct me if I'm wrong. You can watch a pitcher and say, this guy's got no stuff. Like, yeah. You wonder how he even made it here. But you can watch Jake Bird and say, this is a guy that has stuff. He doesn't know how to put it all together as a major league pitcher. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why couldn't the Yankees go out there and at the very least go out there and get me a, quote, Jake Bird and give Matt Blake a month to work with him? And if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. But at least you brought somebody in here, because the evidence for the reason why you do that is Paul Blackburn. Paul Blackburn is the second most important reliever on the New York Yankees this year. And you can say that might be by default, but it's also based on merit. This guy went from being a guy that fans ridiculed and called the Yankees cheap and the whole run it back thing and every negative thing that you want to say fans could have possibly said about Paul Blackburn when that signing was made. They said it. And I said, wait a second. And I'm not going to, you say you're tooting your own horn, but go back on my TikTok, go back on my Twitter. I said this. If you look at Paul Blackburn's appearances with the Yankees after he came over here, he got shelled in that initial outing against the Red Sox, and then he strung together a bunch of really good performances. I know at lower leverage and all that. But you could see what the Yankees were seeing, that they think maybe they found something in this guy that he could be their new Luke Weaver. And now what's happened with Paul Blackburn? Is he not the new Luke Weaver?
He's better, in my opinion.
I don't know if I would honestly go that far. I can't get myself there, really. But Second and third, one out. Yankees are clinging to a one-run lead, and they bring in Paul Blackburn in the seventh inning of a postseason game. You feel pretty confident there?
Yeah. Yeah, that, I do.
I mean, come on now. Let's be fair about what Paul Blackburn has done for this team. And
well, look, to your point, I mean, I think that's the Michael Fulmer move, right? I think they saw a guy who...
I get it, but this guy has not really pitched in the big leagues in the last couple of years of being constantly injured. I would have loved to see somebody in here that's at least getting consistent reps at the big league level and has his arm worked out to be able to give you that workload down the stretch here.
Yeah, but Michael Fulmer is at a point in his life where every time he goes out there, he's leaving it all on the mound. I mean, he doesn't have – how old is Fulmer? He's got to be in his late –
He was a rookie in 2016. He beat out Gary Sanchez for the rookie of the year.
He's got to be in his late 30s now. Michael Fulmer doesn't have an extremely bright future ahead of him here. He's at the end of the road. I think he knows that. And I think he's going to leave everything he's got out on the mound every appearance you get at him.
Yeah, he didn't pitch in 24. He had Tommy John surgery, and he pitched – He pitched in three games last year, and including his two appearances with the Yankees, he has pitched in five games this year. So since 2023, this guy has made eight big league appearances.
Yeah, I mean, that's not.
I understand what you're saying, but if you told me you're bringing in Michael Fulmer in spring training, you're gonna use him as his project and hope to unleash him in August. That's different.
Yeah, you're right.
Then to throwing him in the middle of a pennant race here because you got nothing better going on with yourself right now, and I forget the guy's name in Kansas City. Why have we not heard the Yankees put in a waiver on this guy? A waiver claim on this guy.
I told you they weren't gonna.
Now, would because the Yankees have the second best record in the American League, they have a top five record in baseball, would they get awarded him? Probably not, but you got to do it.
You got to try. You got to try. Look, you know, when you look ahead a little bit, like this series was great. The Yankees did exactly what you needed them to do. You never expect your team to win a doubleheader. You got to at least split. They did that. But really, this series only matters if they continue to take care of business. They go into Anaheim, they got a sweep, right? Do you disagree with me? I mean, I'm talking division at this point. I'm still not at a point where I'm okay with just taking the first wild card. I still think this team has what it takes. We saw them get to within three. I think that's doable again before they play the Rays. This is a tough West Coast trip right now because of where they're positioned and because the team ahead of them doesn't lose. They got to take three against Anaheim, and they got to take at least two out of...
The Angels are bookending with two pretty solid pitchers. So, I mean, you know how the Yankees can be with scoring runs. So, but again, they're lining up with... Elmer's pitching tomorrow, and then Cole and Schlittler. So, I mean,
Elmer looked good.
Now, you know, that intrigues me about him because I get it right now. The Yankees should insert him into this rotation right now. I know a lot of fans were upset that the Yankees could have actually pitched Cole on Tuesday, then they would have given him a start against the Red Sox. Again, I don't think the pitching was really the issue here with the Yankees this weekend, and they took the three out of four. I think Rodon and Freed are just not built up right now to give the Yankees a lot of length. And that was what was so important about what Will Warren did today. You know, you hate Will Warren. You can say whatever you want that you just do it to bust my balls. But I know you well enough after all these years to know that you legitimately hate the guy.
I don't hate him. I just am not – like, I'm not going to glorify a fifth starter. I'm just not going to do it. I gave him his flowers today. He was fucking brilliant. He went out there and he gained a lot of my respect today. Going out there, I don't care what you've done throughout the whole season. When you go out there, and any Yankee fan that came at me saying this game didn't mean anything, you're a fucking moron. Okay? If you don't understand the implications of this game and what it means in October, then you're just a fool. And I'm not going to waste my time even responding. And what he did, he came out there today, and I think he's earned a lot of people's, a lot of fans' respect for what he did today. I'm just not going to glorify a fifth starter that's Will Warren. I think, and if you want proof in the pudding, I think Cashman tried to put him in how many deals that just didn't go through.
Bro, I'm not saying that the Yankees need to hold on to him forever, but I think fans completely overreact to who Will Warren is. He's a legitimately, Will Warren is a legitimate major league starter. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, and I'll give you one more. The reason why I'm so impressed with today isn't just because he was dominant. That was just the icing on the cake. He gave us length in a time where they needed a guy to go out there and eat up innings. If Will Warren's going to be decent but eat up innings every single time he takes the ball from here to the end of, you know, September, then his value goes way up to me.
The thing about Will Warren is that when you have the other names in a rotation that the Yankees do, and you have a guy that is lesser than those names, and the team doesn't score, the fans are going to freak out the second he gives up a run. There's been some Will Warren starts where he goes three earned over five, and fans are calling him every dirty name in the book on social media. Well, if you can guarantee me that line out of my fifth starter, I'm going to take it the majority of the time, because I think that's pretty much what you'd want out of your fifth starter. Will Warren, as I've always said, is a legitimate major league starter. He's not a top of the rotation starter. As you saw today, he does have enough stuff in his arsenal to go out there and pitch a winning ball game. He's very inconsistent, and that's what makes him a fifth starter. But what you saw out of him today was a huge set of balls that I bet a lot of you didn't think Will Warren had on him. Yeah. Because the Yankees went out there on Saturday and they did split the doubleheader, which was good, but neither one of their starters got out of the fifth inning. You taxed the hell out of your bullpen on Saturday. You know you didn't have Blackburn. You know you didn't have Hedrick. You could have unleashed Bednar for six outs if you needed to, but probably not something the Yankees wanted to do. So Will Warren went on the mound today and said, "Don't worry about it. I got it." And he got the Yankees into the eighth inning today. And you saw it today. In the first inning, I bet everybody was saying, oh, he's going to do it right here. Mm-hmm. He's going to blow the game. He made a huge pitch to strike out Contreras. Yep. Then he got Adley after that. And then he coasted through the next 13 batters. The next jam that he got in, and then you were going to say, okay, no, we just busted the game open with five runs, and here comes Will Warren to spit it up. What'd he do? Got it in Contreras' kitchen, double play. You could have turned the game off from there. Game was over. Yankees put the game away and won 16-1. And Will Warren deserves a lot of credit today because he recognized what the job needed to be. Now, do I expect him to go out there and give me 7-1 the next time out? No, because he's Will Warren. He's the fifth starter. But you know now today, after today, Will Warren has this in him. He can do this.
Oh, more importantly, he knows he can do it. I mean, this is a huge start for him mentally. I mean, I say this all the time, man. It applies more to bullpen guys, but look at Blackburn, right? I tweeted the other day, out of all Matt Blake's projects, man, out of all the legacy stories and projects he's going to leave behind, Paul Blackburn is on track to be maybe his best. Right,
if the Yankees win a World Series this year as a setup guy, then he will be. Right now, it's still Luke Weaver.
Okay, fair. But my point is, I'm not taking away what Matt Blake has done for him and what he's adjusted and all that, but how many times have you seen bullpen guys, Luke Weaver being one of them, where they start to string together a few really solid big outings, and all of a sudden their confidence. Look at Hedrick. Who is Brent Hedrick? Who is he?
A failed starter.
But he came out here and he was outing after outing after outing. All of a sudden you start to believe that you're someone you might not really be, but as a bullpen guy, that can be more beneficial than any amount of work that you can put in. It still applies to starting pitchers like Will Warren, who everyone kind of doubts. He needs to channel what Cam Schlittler has And this is why I think Cam Schlittler is going to be such an incredible ace for the staff one day. Cam Schlittler thrives on people doubting him. That's not something you can teach. It is inherent, and it's part of, like, when I see anyone doubting Cam Schlittler after a start, it excites me because I know he's going to go out there and fucking dominate the next time he takes the ball. And Will Warren has to channel that a little bit here and say, fuck you, look at what I did, and I'm going to take the ball every fifth day from here on out and show you that I can shut down a lineup and give you depth.
It's going to be really interesting to see what the Yankees end up doing here with Will Warren if he continues to pitch well down the stretch here, because as much as we've ripped on Cashman for not going out there and getting a legitimate bullpen piece, even if it is a project type guy, right? Because look at Brent Hedrick, and they've had 2 years to work with him, but he had an ERA of 5.97 in 2 years with Minnesota. Yankees pick him up last year, and in 17 games, he pitched to a 3.13 ERA in 23 innings. And you were looking at him and said, who's this Brent Hedrick guy? And then this year, he's been incredible. Now, Brent Hedrick has pitched in, I have it right here,
87 games.
Not that much. He's pitching 70 games this year, which is ridiculous.
Which is crazy.
So, I mean, to be fair to the guy, it's okay if he's running out of gas a little bit here, because last year Brent Hedrick appeared in 17 games.
Well, look, I mean, this goes back to when I say to you, like, I don't like reading into the numbers of, like, this guy only threw, you know, 30 innings last year and now he can't throw 100. Like, Brent Hedrick going from 17 to 70 is significant, and he's just starting to show you that he's mortal, and he's starting to get knocked around a little bit. Would you mind? Well, Clark Schmidt, what, started a rehab yesterday?
Yes.
Would you mind them expediting him a little bit so they can possibly get him up here for a couple weeks in September to see if, at the very least, he can take some innings away from Brent Hedrick and maybe freshen him up for October?
You know what surprised me about today's game is that 16-1, they didn't bring in Luis Hill.
I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing, and I was really scratching my head. I'm thinking to myself, what better time to, like, get him acclimated again on a major league mound than in this situation, and to see what he can do coming out of the bullpen in a major league game? I don't know if he's done it in the past. I can't remember on a major league field, but what better time to see how quickly he could get ready and adjust to a relief spot than
he has no major league relief appearances.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But, like, what better time to see? Because that's the biggest concern. People don't realize, like, the preparation that a starter has. It's so habitual. Like, they have, they're creatures of habit. They go out there at a certain time. They do certain workouts and amp up and get ready to take the ball to start the game. That's a big transition. How are they using him in the minors?
Since he came off the IL, he's been a reliever.
Okay. All right. So let's see how it translates here in a 16-1 game. I was kind of shocked that we didn't see that.
See, I would have liked to have seen him get the ninth inning here. Low pressure, no stress involved at all, just to get him out of the bullpen, let him get some, you know, throws in, pitch, whatever you want to call it. Just come in there, warm up, come, you know, do that whole thing, and then just to get that first one out of the way where there's no stress involved. Because we've always talked about this with Luis Hill. With his fastball slider combination, this guy could be electric out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, I don't know if you caught this part of the game when Kay threw it down to Meredith, and she said that the Yankees believe that in the last 2 years, Heel was not hitting top velocity as a starter because he was trying to hold himself back to go deeper into games. Hmm. So obviously we know that would mean that if he knows he's going to be out there for four or five batters, he can go out there and max out and maybe throw 97, 98. The thing with Luis Heel, though, has always been his control. Is he going to throw enough strikes? But I think in the state that the Yankees bullpen is in right now, knowing that you need to add somebody to that, quote, circle of trust, that mix. You know it's Bednar. You know it's Blackburn. I'm not ready to take Hedrick out of there, but he's inching closer to the line at the moment right now.
Yeah.
So you have to put another guy or two in there. I think Luis Heel, out of all these names that we've talked about, Weathers, Warren, Elmer, Heel is the one that really intrigues me, and Clark Schmidt, Heel is really the one that intrigues me the most to see if you can unleash him, especially in a short series, to go out there, starter gets you into the seventh, you know, maybe to bridge into Bednar there instead of having to go to Blackburn and Hedrick every night.
Oh, another thing too, you know, his control is always been the issue, like you said. As a reliever, if you're emptying the tank on three to five batters, you also have the ability to try and blow fastballs by guys and not try and be cute. That could actually help Luis Heel in that sense of just really, you know, throwing it down the strike zone and gaining that. I've always been the most intrigued by Heel as a bullpen piece. I think if he can put that shit together, man, he could be absolutely dominant. The only reason I'm just trying to like think of, it's impossible to ever put a logical answer as to what the Yankees do in their decisions, because they just baffle me every single day. But the only logical thing I can think of is they have you said Elmer's taking the ball tomorrow, right?
Yes.
They could have thought, you know, Heel is a good piggyback guy tomorrow. They don't know how many innings they'll get out of Elmer. They're traveling to the West Coast. That's tough. They don't have a day off. Maybe they're keeping Luis Heel in their back pocket to be a piggyback guy. Elmer starts to fall off in the fourth inning or so. They go right to Luis Heel.
You know, the thing about Elmer in his last start is the velocity was up too, man. And he had some wicked movement on that two-seamer.
You saw a much different pitcher than when he first came up here. You saw more of a pitcher than a thrower. And
he was more confident in his abilities.
Well, that velocity can do that for sure. And then when you mix in the movement that he had on the two-seamer, I'm sorry, I don't care what you say to me. If you have a solid two-seamer splitter, that's the nastiest pitch in baseball, in Major League Baseball.
But that's the thing about Elmer now, is he putting himself in the mix that the Yankees could say, okay, we can run you out there maybe for an inning in a big spot if you're going to get that type of movement on your two-seamer and have a strikeout pitch.
Well, here's the thing for me. When you get into October, you can really trim the fat of this bullpen and stack it with guys that you trust in any situation, right? You have how many guys out there right now currently? And I know they're on a, you know, carousel of back and forth, you know, getting sent down. But like, how many guys, maybe three or four out there right now that are coming in games that you're just kind of waving the white flag or just to kind of eat innings when you're down a couple
runs?
Ryan
Yarbrough has no legitimate role in the postseason.
Yeah. So my point is, if you can build these guys up like Heel, maybe Elmer, Schmidt when he comes back, these are pieces where either you're up big, you're up a couple runs early and your starting pitcher starting to lose the zone and you can go to them. Or more importantly, in my opinion, when you're in a big game and only down one or two runs, to not have to go to a fucking, what's his name? Copa.
Well, they DFA'd him today.
Yeah. Just my point of his name, Hanner, to not have to go to guys like that and to be able to give the ball to a Luis Heel who throws strikes or a Clark Schmidt who can adjust well coming out of the bullpen or even Elmer at that point, then you're really putting yourself in a position to always keep your offense in the game.
Well, we can't forget about Ryan Weathers either, because Boone said the 2 to 4 weeks of no throwing, he's on the short end of that, so he could be potentially be getting the throw at the end of this week.
I'm shocked. I'm really shocked.
Again, that's a guy we've always loved to go to the bullpen, man, because he has legitimate strikeout stuff.
Do you think the Yankees are at a point right now where it's more beneficial for them to just focus on one goal and get this team ready for October? Like, and what I'm asking, if you're reading between the lines here, is it more beneficial for the Yankees to say, look, if we win the division, that's great, but we're okay with...
No, because they did not... I'll tell you this. I can tell you this because of last year. They could have done that last year, and they didn't. And I really was impressed by the way they finished down the stretch last year. They chased down Toronto at a point where I think anybody that's followed the Yankees over the last 10 years would have said they feel comfortable where they are as a top wild card spot. They'll pull the brakes on here a little bit and say, hey, if we get there, we get there. If not, we're comfortable being the top wild card. They did not do that last year, and I thought that was very important. Now, obviously, they ran into Toronto and didn't really work out well, but they did not do that last year. And I think this year it's even more important for them to not do it, because if you look around the American League, Chris, I we've said this how many times over the past 10 years, and it's blown up in our face. But if you have a healthy Aaron Judge, healthy Cole, Schwitler, and Fried, tell me, line up 1 through 26 and tell me who you think is better than the New York Yankees in the American League.
No one, and it's honestly not close.
The only thing that will hold them back, if they're healthy 1 through 26, is having to expend a lot of energy in that wild card series and having to go with Rodon in game one against Rasmussen or Nick Martinez or whoever their number one is, which then you could be already down one. And again, I'm not trying to shit on Carlos Rodon, but I don't want him starting game one of the American League Division Series. I just don't want that to be the case. I don't want the Yankees to be in a dogfight with the Boston Red Sox in three games like they were last year, and then having to take them have them go on the road to Tampa Bay, which is a fucking house of horrors, in the American League Division Series. I don't want that. So their sole focus for the next 25 games is how to be six games better than the Tampa Bay Rays.
Well, the only reason why I ask is because this is the time now, if they're going to start experimenting with Weathers, you know, in the bullpen.
Which he's not going to, when he comes back, he's not going in the rotation. I think everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They said that?
At this point in the season, he's not going to be built up to go back in a rotation here.
All right. Because my point was going to be, like, if he is built up, he's your best option.
Because think about
to
it.
To throw out there.
He might just start throwing at the end of the week. We're already through the first week of September here. And he's got to build up.
True.
Probably go on a rehab. And then, what, he's got 2 weeks? I don't think they're going to put him in a rotation at that point.
Yeah.
And I think Boone even said it. He didn't use the word bullpen, but maybe he was being fancy with his words, like alternative usage or whatever the hell weird shit that he says.
Yeah.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Ro. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Ro, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to ro.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's PRENUVO.com.
Odyssey celebrates Labor Day. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 1H 2026.
Yeah, good old Boone.
So, you know what? The Yankees did an excellent job this weekend. I mean, you texted me on Thursday, so though they're going to get swept, or would it surprise you? If they
I said it would not have surprised me.
Well, it would have. I really thought the Yankees were better than getting swept at home against the Red Sox here this weekend. And they really dominated this series.
But how many times have we seen this team have the biggest series ahead of them against an AL East team and fucking drop the ball?
No, and I get it, bro. But I did not expect it out of this team, especially with Cam pitching on Thursday night there.
This was I mean they go out there and lose 3 out of 4 or God forbid get swept. That completely changes this entire season. Like that one series, this one series completely changed the dynamic of the season for
all
the Yankees.
All it means is that they're going on the road in the wild card series. That's how bad the American League is here.
Yeah,
the
Yankees that's fine if you want to say that. That's fine. The
but
road
do you
means,
have faith in what the Yankees are going to do in the postseason? It's a little – yes, I understand. You
yeah, not
– zero faith that they're
exactly.
going to do anything. At least now you feel pretty good that they had – it was nut-cutting time this weekend against Boston, and they went out there and they smacked them around pretty good, and especially in the last two games.
What they did is they made it clear – and I said this at the beginning of the show, they made it clear that not only are they better than the Red Sox, they are much better than the Red Sox, and they're not even healthy. To me, it's the Rays, the Yankees, and then a really big drop-off. And that's not shitting on the Red Sox. The Red Sox are putting together
a
season.
They're the clear third-best team in the American League.
They are putting together a season with 4A guys at this point. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's Chad Tracy coming in, and I find it hard to believe that Alex Cora, you know, one of the best managers ever, couldn't do it. Maybe things just got stale, which absolutely happens, but I don't know what it is. They've put together a fantastic, respectable season to come back from where they were. But the Yankees are a much better team. And if you're putting it, and if worst case, the Yankees are the top wild card seed, which I don't want. I'm still putting my money on the Yankees at home against anyone.
Look, the fact of the matter is that the Yankees could have went out here and completely shit all over themselves, and they didn't do that. They went out there and especially late in the last two games, they played some really inspired baseball. And I don't care what. You know, Red Sox fans are crying right now about the Rafaela play. I don't know why Nesson didn't show the one replay where the ball is clearly on the ground.
I don't know if it's clear. When you watch the replays that they showed,
listen, I'll tell you this: if you want to lean red in that situation, okay, there's enough of a doubt that they cannot overturn it.
I want to talk about a couple things. The first thing is, any replay I saw, maybe I missed the one on the live broadcast where it did show that rolling motion where it did look like it hit the grass. I said, I cannot believe they didn't overturn that. I thought it was definitely a catch. Then I saw the one where it looks like it might have touched the grass. And I said, okay, if you're looking at that, you absolutely cannot overturn. The very least, I want to talk about your tweet that you mentioned real quick, where you said New York shouldn't know the call.
Well, that's Kay's idea.
Look, it's a good idea on its face, I guess, but when you really think about it, New York, all they have, they don't have to know the call. They can just say, whatever the call was, this is inconclusive.
But that's the thing. They know what the call is. That's why they call it inconclusive. So watch it without knowing and then tell us what you think it is.
But you can still look at it and say, I don't know. There's not a good enough angle to tell you definitively. So whatever you guys called it on the field, but just stick with that.
No, that's not the point. The point is for them to make the call.
Mm.
Take it. If that's look.
So they would have to they would have to make the call one way or another, black or white.
Yeah, you tell us what you saw, and then we, because you're supposed, aren't they supposed to have more angles?
I guess
they're supposed to have every camera angle. They're supposed to have every shot of it. So what did you see there? Put the puzzle pieces together and tell us what you saw without knowing ahead of time. Because if they know no catch and they're like, oh, we can't find anything, stick with no catch.
Yeah.
You know, so go in there and make a call based on what the video shows and not what was called on the field. And Kay is right about this. The initial call on a replay challenge is the most important part of the replay
challenge. Of course, unless it's an egregiously bad call.
Because on these bang-bang plays, on these ambiguous plays where you don't know right off the bat, and you can watch 15 or 20 replays, and maybe only one shows that maybe it goes the way that the challenging team wants, but they're like, we got 14 shots this way and one shot this way. We're just going to keep it what's on the field. But if they don't know what's on the field, and they can say, well, wait a second, this is what the call is.
We've had replay for how many years now? It's been quite some time. I can't remember a season where they've been more conservative on overturning calls from New York than this year.
It does feel that way, for sure.
It really does. There's even been some calls where I thought clearly it could get overturned, and they still wouldn't do it.
I get it. If you're a Red Sox fan, you're upset because that immediately let the floodgates open. But you have to understand, in the situation, and we'd be pissed off about this too. Let's be fair. We'd be very mad if this was the Yankees. But that is what the call was on the field. There is not enough evidence to overturn that on the field. That's why the initial call matters. So umpires can't just be like, oh, well, they'll challenge it because this is what happens then. They just stick with what you called on the field.
How many times are we on the shit end of that stick? A lot. A lot.
Well, they're going to, people are going to tell you now it's in our favor, especially after the Pete Alonso play.
Yeah. Well,
although there is one shot out there that shows that ball foul.
I thought there was no doubt. Again, I looked at what I thought was every angle, and I was like, this is fucking egregious. And then you see one angle from really the home plate umpire's perspective, and it's going over the foul pole, but you can easily call that foul. So it's not perfect. It's not perfect. Like you said, if this was the other way around, I'd be fucking furious. But they still lost 16-1. This wasn't like a, even if that were just it, a 5-0 game. This was a 16-1 embarrassment where you had a position player pitching. Let's not just lay it all down on one play. You guys showed up. You didn't do the job. The Yankees did, and that's it. You're still a great team.
You could get Paul Goldschmidt out there. That can definitely happen.
Yeah.
Ranger Suarez is one of the better pitchers in baseball. He can make pitches, for sure. I mean, those are things that can happen.
Yep.
And, I don't think we'd be so flippant about it if that was us, but I think we would also be like, hey, listen, you know what? You were dealt a bad hand there. It's still second and third, one out, because Sanchez lays down the bunt, make pitches.
Yeah.
Will Warren made pitches today. Ranger Suarez didn't. That's the difference in the game.
Yep.
I mean, if you want to break it down to its simplest terms, when pitches needed to be made in this game, Will Warren made them and Ranger Suarez didn't.
Yeah, and the Yankees pitching staff has been handling adversity like that all year. I mean, how many times has the defense, the umpires, the defense, the offense let down this pitching staff, and they continue to go out there and they make the pitches? And Will Warren did that today, and that is the clear difference in the game.
So, look, the Yankees won 3 out of 4 here. I am not declaring the Red Sox, quote, dead for the wild card, but I think now the focus is not on them catching us and us catching the Rays after this weekend. That's kind of where I'm at here, unless the Yankees go on some stupid losing streak, which they shouldn't with this pitching staff, but whatever. It doesn't mean that we were happy this entire weekend. There's still issues with how this team is run that we have to talk about here, okay? Mm-hmm. The Yankees decided on Thursday. On Friday. I don't know why I keep saying Thursday, but when I am away, my fucking dates are all.
Well, you also had a four-game series.
Four game in three days here. On Friday night, and on game one here on Saturday, the Yankees decided it was in their best interest to sit their hottest hitter, and they went. They scored one combined run, and then Luis Garcia Jr. gets the start in game two and gets two hits off of left-handed hitters, left-handed pitchers. This is look, and I said to you, right? Look, you can make the argument. And probably rightfully so, and I've been making it. I mean, so I don't know why I'm going to argue against myself here. Spencer Jones should be starting over Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham is statistically the third worst center fielder in all of Major League Baseball. That is not me making shit up. Those are based on outs above average and defensive runs saved.
I asked Google last night who's considered the statistically the worst center fielder. Google had no problem just throwing Trent Grisham right there.
They put Trent Grisham right there?
Right there.
Well, last I mean, maybe it was updated after the last time I saw it because, like I said, it was away for a few days, maybe in those couple of days.
Yeah, no, I think he's the worst.
Okay. Also, and I saw this when I was watching the game last night, game two, of the doubleheader, and I texted this to you. In the history of Major League Baseball, of players that have 80 leadoff plate appearances, and that doesn't mean like if you randomly lead off in a fifth inning, no, to start the game, the person with the lowest batting average in the history of Major League Baseball is Trent Grisham this year.
Ever.
He started the game yesterday batting 105, and he made an out, so whatever the numbers work. So he's barely hitting over 100 leading off the game this year. This is the Yankees everyday leadoff hitter. This is the Yankees center fielder. So while the Yankees love to live and die by numbers, they choose to ignore the ones that tell you Trent Grisham stinks as a center fielder and he's even worse as a leadoff hitter. Those are the ones they ignore because you know what the important number is, Chris?
The money.
He makes $22 million.
The money. I said this to you guys, and it is true. Everyone thinks, rightfully so, the Yankees are an analytically driven team. And by all metrics, you can argue that. But really, what this series proved to us, we've been saying it for years, they are an egotistically driven team. Not analytics. Analytics comes second. They are driven by ego, and there is no other proof that you need than Trent Grisham in a series where you're facing four lefties in four games, getting any time over Jones, but then just them shoving it down your face, leading him off, playing him in center. It's an ego-driven team. It's Brian Cashman's ego that drives it first, and then it goes into analytics.
So if you look at their splits, and I know Jones probably only has about 30 at-bats-ish against lefties this year. His OPS is over 1,000. So tell me what metric you're using other than Trent Grisham makes a lot more money than Spencer Jones that he should have been playing in these games.
Yeah, it's not even close.
The one, and I told you this, and this is why you get mad at me, but I'm telling you, at least in the Rice versus Garcia debate, the numbers were in the Yankees' favor. Garcia is barely above 600 against lefties.
OPS.
Rice was like 770 something. So at least that one, if you're using numbers to make your decisions, okay, the Yankees got that one. But there's no numbers that back up playing Trent Grisham over Spencer Jones. But here's what my issue is. My issue is, number one, I've talked about this a lot in the last couple of weeks here, is how do you get to your best nine? You can't do it. The way the Yankees roster is constructed, you can't do it. Especially when you're facing left-handed hitters, left-handed pitching, you want Paul Goldschmidt to play. Come on. I want Paul Goldschmidt in the lineup against lefty pitching. I do. I think he's shown enough, even in the sporadic playing time that he's had, that he's still productive against lefties. He's got an over 1,000 OPS against lefties. If you're going to have him on the roster, this is when Paul Goldschmidt plays.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question becomes, who do I choose, Ben Rice or Luis Garcia Jr.? And if you look solely at the numbers, you're going to go, well, Ben Rice makes the obvious choice. But this is where this team kills me. They don't believe in the heartbeat. And what I mean by that is they don't believe that these players are actually functioning human beings. And right now, Luis Garcia Jr. is one of the hottest hitters in Major League Baseball. You don't cool down your own hitters.
And what you're saying is not, it's not a theory. The Yankees have come out and explicitly said
they
do not
hot.
Believe in players getting hot just because they're 5-7 for their last 10 or whatever the hell it was with 3 home runs or whatever. They don't believe in it. And that in itself is probably the most frustrating thing. Because I said to you, I said, after he was benched those first 2 games, I thought for sure he'd be benched at least 3 out of 4 at that point.
Well, I knew they weren't going to start Goldschmidt on both ends of the doubleheader.
And I thought to myself,
if that was a regular straight 4-game series.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I said to you guys, I'm like, don't come crying. I don't want to hear Yankee fans come crying when Luis Garcia is all of a sudden cold. Because they do this. The Yankees do this. They don't believe in it, and then they bench this guy when he is the hottest hitter in baseball.
Well, I think Pete Crow Armstrong is kind of playing to that play.
Yeah, he's on another level.
He hit another home run tonight.
It's crazy, man.
But, look, I get what the numbers are, but I also believe in the player at the moment, and let me... Was he on a heater when he took those at-bats against left-handed pitching? I don't know. Do you know that? Do the Yankees know that? They probably don't. They're just looking at it and say, oh, he stinks against lefties. Well, the Yankees went out there, the only game they won against Houston, and they had 6 at-bats against a lefty in that one inning.
They went 5-for-6.
They went 5-for-5, and the other guy walked.
Yeah. I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing can score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards pay back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Odyssey celebrates Labor Day. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data 1H 2026.
Yeah, right.
So sometimes you have to look deeper in the numbers and believe that these are real human beings playing a baseball, playing a game here. That's why, and I want to take the time right now to make this point on this show here. I'm tired of arguing with people when I say this about how do you get to your best nine? Well, Ben Rice catches. He hasn't caught one fucking inning this year, and there's 25 games left in the season.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do this right now. Okay, guys? And I'm getting mad at the Yankees for believing that this is a computer game that we're playing and that they're not real people. Hot is not real. You can just stick anybody where you want to and get the optimum results out of it. And I'm getting people feeding the same thing back to me that Ben Rice can just catch after he hasn't caught since 2025. And listen, guys, I'm not advocating that Austin Wells is some all-star catcher, that Austin Wells is Thurman Munson with a bat in his hand, okay? Wells is awful. I don't want to see Austin Wells with a bat in his hand, but you know what Austin Wells is? He's one of the best defensive catchers in all of Major League Baseball. The numbers back that up. Do you know who has the best catcher's ERA in baseball? It does. Do you know who that guy is?
Yeah, Austin Wells.
It's Austin Wells. You're going to tell me that doesn't mean anything when the Yankees are winning baseball games based on starting pitching?
Well, part of the argument that people don't think about is last year, when Rice was still an option behind the plate, he's mixing in. Yeah. He's working with the pitchers. There's a chemistry there. You can't. It's not fair to the pitchers to just have him all of a sudden go back there.
You know I love Gerrit Cole. You think this is something Gerrit Cole wants to deal with in September?
No.
And Max Fried, the same thing. I love Max. You think this is something Max Fried wants to deal with in September?
No.
Do you think that they love throwing to Austin Wells?
No, they have enough on their plate. Honestly,
you think guys like Cole and Fried love throwing Austin Wells?
They have to.
I'm not saying the Yankees shouldn't have went and got a catcher. Okay, I'm not saying that. They needed to bring in at least an upgrade of Ollie Sanchez.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Big time.
I'm not saying that they didn't need to do that. I'm not saying that. I'm still not pissed. And I know Adley Rutschman's been asked for the Red Sox. I'm not saying that they still shouldn't have done that or brought somebody else in here to at least be a better backup. But when do we actually put some stock into what Austin Wells does behind the plate? What value does that bring to a team that is winning games based on their pitching? Let's be fair here. Come on.
Yeah. I still hate him.
I'm not saying that. Look, come on, bro. I know you hate one. So you think that I'm carrying the water for the YPM here, but tell me what I'm saying that's wrong here.
You're not. The argument doesn't even have to go there. I mean, anyone arguing that Ben Rice should, if you want to make the argument that the Yankees should have
done this earlier,
and had him ready to fill in there. And going to, and getting Garcia and having that roadblock now that could have been prevented. I'll have that argument with you all day. I'll sit here and listen. But this isn't MLB The Show. You can't just. I know the Yankees have run this organization sometimes like it is playing guys wherever they feel they want to play them at a position. But catching's a different animal, and it's not. It's not just Ben Rice. It's the pitchers. The pitchers have not worked with him. He has not worked with the pitchers. Ben Rice has also really put a lot of time and energy into becoming a better first baseman. Is he elite? No. Is he a much better first baseman than he was last year? Absolutely.
First baseman?
I think he is. I really do. I don't think
since Garcia's been here, he's not.
I know, but I think he's gotten much better. But my point is, it's not just on its face. Like, why not just throw him out there? It's not just Ben Rice who's not ready to be a catcher now because he hasn't worked at it. It's a whole back and forth with the. They call it a battery for a reason, man. These guys, the preparation that goes into each game, each outing, he's not even in the room. Ben Rice isn't in the room anymore.
You think he's in the room getting scouting reports on the opposite team?
No, he's not in the room anymore. If you want to have that argument that he should have been in the room from the beginning to avoid this and maybe...
Why he didn't get time in spring training, why he didn't get a game here or there in April, yeah. That's a different conversation.
Different conversation.
But to tell me, when I bring up how do you get to your best nine, and your answer is, well, Ben Rice catches, you're missing the entire point You cannot do that.
He is an emergency option, which with the way Aaron Boone manages and flies through players in one at bat, I can see it happening one day.
What was it, in the sixth inning when he was it this? It had to be this. Whenever he pinch hit Sanchez for Wells, I'm saying to myself, well, you have Rice on the bench. Why don't you just go to Rice and burn seven players?
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. He does
You know he loves to do that.
He does it no problem.
I mean, Wells came through. He got the sack fly there. But I'm saying to myself, you know Ben Rice is sitting right there. This is probably where you want to use Ben Rice. You know what? You know Boone loves to burn 14 players in one move. So.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Uh-oh. Did I lose?
I lost your camera. I can hear you. But yeah, I mean, if there's one manager that might give him the opportunity by default, it would be Boone. I mean, with the way he manages, but it's just not realistic. And if you think it is, again, this isn't MLB The Show. So, I mean, I don't know. Christian's trying to get his camera back on. Can you talk? Can I hear you?
You can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, well...
Fuck it.
Know. Yeah, fuck it at this point. Oh, there it goes.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe.
Yeah, you're good.
But the other thing then I get people saying was, well, Luis Garcia Jr. plays second base. No, he doesn't.
No.
When a guy, listen to me, tell me if I'm wrong. When we are on the last day of August and a guy has not played that position the entire year, is now the time to start playing him in that position?
Mm-mm.
Luis Garcia Jr. was a horrendous second baseman.
He's an elite. I didn't realize how good he was at first.
I think he's a lot better. He's a lot better at first than I ever thought that he was.
I think he's very good over there.
Yeah. I have no problems with Luis Garcia Jr. being the everyday first baseman next year either. Which, again, is going to present an issue for the Yankees because what do you do with Ben Rice? Is Stanton going to want to come back? You're going to want to DH Judge more. This team, as much as I love Luis Garcia Jr., and I think he's, and we've seen the abilities that he's going to have with the bat, and I think he's really going to rise to the occasion for the Yankees in October. It's not a move that really fits.
Yeah. But he's fucking good, man. And he's got the best lefty swing I've seen since Cano.
Well, I mean, somebody put it out there side by side, bro. It is almost.
I said it the first game he was over here. No, I said he is Cano.
When he came over here, I think he said like he idolized Robinson Cano.
That's a compliment. I mean, Robinson Cano arguably has one of the sweetest lefty swings.
But when
we've
you see
ever
it,
seen.
When you see it side by side,
it's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
They're basically the same player.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, with Elia Ramos today, with that home run he hit off of Suarez, this is what you brought him in here for. So
that was
big. Again. If you're using him in the role that he's intended to be in, I can't get mad at it. But at the same time, you're forced to make a decision about who should play in center field, and the Yankees do not make the right decision.
Mm-mm.
So it frustrates you, man. And it's like, do I want Ben Rice on the bench? No, I'm never going to sit there and tell you I want Ben Rice on the bench. But at the same time, Luis Garcia Jr. is scorching everything that comes his way. How can you leave this guy on the bench?
No.
And then you're going to get mad, and then he's going to go in a 1-for-12 and be like, well, what happened to Luis Garcia Jr.? He didn't play him for 3 days.
Yeah. And even more so, you want to have that argument more so with Jones being the one to play beyond his stats against lefties and how bad Trent Grisham has been, both defensively and offensively. Jones is going to be affected more probably than Garcia at this point in his career by not playing a few games after he's been a really, I mean, am I on the like fully on the Spencer Jones train yet? No, but he's really impressed me. Like he's come through in some big spots. He's had much better at bats. I want him in this lineup every day. I want him in this lineup every day. I don't want to see him sitting multiple games in a row. And I want to see him continue to develop out there on the major league level.
I think that the two things here is that Trent Trent Jones. Trent Grisham is so incredibly, incredibly streaky.
Yeah.
That, yes, when he has that 10-day stretch where he's hitting a bunch of home runs and is on base a lot, it's not really, but it's not, is it really worth it for everything else that he brings to the table where he's overall a net negative for the Yankees? Like, let's be honest here. And I think that Spencer Jones is a better base runner. He's a better fielder than Trent Grisham. So I think those tools, especially with the way the Yankees are playing so many razor close games here, they have to be utilized over what Trent Grisham, the possibility that Trent Grisham might go on a 7-day heater.
Yeah. I mean, you always say it, outside of these last two games, runs are at a premium for this team. And when you're going to sit certain guys because lefties are playing, to not play the guy with better numbers against lefties who has been a much better player this year for a guy who is simply, the only argument you can make is getting paid. It puts your team at a much higher disadvantage than they have to be. I mean, Trent Grisham, unless he's on one of his hot streaks, which hasn't happened much this year, the guy's an automatic out at this point. He's terrible. Every time the ball's hit to center field, I don't even hold my breath. I just watch in disgust whether he catches it or not. I can't stand the lackadaisical play. Just get to the ball. Jazz does the same shit. Just get under the ball and make the fucking play and get the ball in. You are in no position to lollygag to a ball. And then we see it catch up to him. I don't know if you caught it. I think it was the first game yesterday. Trent's playing back. This ball, he's like jogging to it. In my mind, it could have been caught. Or at least he should have been close.
Look, do I think sometimes does he look lazy, lackadaisical out there? Better term than lazy. Yeah, he does. That some guys have what they call gliding speed, but I don't think he has any speed. I think he does not have the closing speed necessary to play center field.
He was at least a little bit faster before he hurt his knee or his leg or whatever.
His hamstring.
But it's way worse now. It's almost like it's clear he doesn't want to have. Baseball takes a lot of explosive speed in a lot of positions. He doesn't want to exert that speed.
And when you have hamstring issues,
that's what pulls it. And he doesn't want to do it unless he absolutely has to. And it's causing him to look lackadaisical on a lot of plays.
And again, even in the situations where he has to do it, he doesn't have it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think left field in Yankee Stadium, yes, because it's a bigger left field, which is why sometimes I don't understand why they were playing Ramos in left and Jones in right. Mm-hmm. Like, that one didn't make a lot of sense to me. But center field really is the one outfield position that you have to have your best athlete
in. You have to cover the entire outfield.
So, and the other thing I just wanted to say, going back to Luis Garcia Jr., is yes, because somebody, when I posted that tweet yesterday about Garcia, and it got a bunch of likes, and it went around for a little while today also, and I got some comments. It's like, well, all hot streaks end. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. but
why not take advantage of it?
Let them end. Why do we not let them end naturally? Why would you actively try to end your player's hot streak? Because the Yankees don't believe in it. And that's what frustrates you, man.
Yep.
And just two things real quick, because I know we're running long here, but we really haven't talked about it a lot outside of the show here. Well, Heyman backed off of it. He said this was like a question that he was asked, and then it wasn't a report. But it was going around this week that he, being Heyman, expects that Cashman will be back next year. And everybody was freaking out. You're going to be done. I know. Mm-hmm. We can save that for another time. But I read that, and I'm like, okay. I mean, what honest to God Yankee fan, somebody that's following this organization and is like locked into what goes on here, who read that and was actually surprised?
I don't need Heyman to tell me, or Sherman, whoever it was. I don't need them to tell me that Brian Cashman's getting a contract in the winter.
Look, we can say anything that we want to say about any number of things here, but the fact of the matter is that it's never been, and we've been steadfast on this for years, it's never been about the amount of money that Hal Steinbrenner puts into the team. It's that he legitimately, let's be honest now, Chris, we can use this terminology, he does not want to be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
Say whatever you want about Brian Cashman, he is the third Steinbrenner brother. He is somebody that Hal Steinbrenner trusts, and he knows, he being Hal, knows that Brian Cashman is not going to run this business into the ground. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two different things here at play. You and I only care about whether or not the Yankees win championships. Hal Steinbrenner cares about whether or not the ballpark is full. And Brian Cashman may not be a championship general manager anymore in our eyes, but what he does is put a team on the field every single season that keeps the ballpark filled. So as long as he does that, he is not in danger of losing his job. So it doesn't matter what some geek says as a report or not a report. We know that he's not going anywhere. Brian Cashman is the general manager of the New York Yankees until he no longer wants to be the general manager of the New York Yankees. So I don't know if Heyman needed attention that day or what, but it's not something I'm going to particularly get upset about because we've been doing this how long? It's not news.
We'd be shocked if he didn't get the contract, not that he did. But this is not me defending Hal Steinbrenner. This is me just objectively telling you like it is. If Hal Steinbrenner's goal is not to go out there and win championships, but to have a sustainable, successful business where every single year they are competitive, every single year they are selling out most games and fans are in the seats every game over the summer and they're in the playoffs pretty much. I mean, it's tough not to be in the playoffs at this point. Hal would be stupid to get rid of Brian Cashman. Who does it better than Brian Cashman? Honestly. I mean, even these teams like the Rays, where they have a GM who can put together a team with a very low payroll, they're competitive, but then they fall off and they're nothing. And then they have years where no one even talks about the Rays. The Yankees are relevant every single year. As a fan, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, as a fan, I am only focused on championship at this point. Maybe other fans are different, but that doesn't mean two things can't be true at once. That I'm also grateful that we root for a team that every single year I'm still watching important baseball at the end of August and into September. That's something that we can't take for granted either. And I hate Brian Cashman at this point. I don't want him here anymore. But
I'm not advocating for him to keep his job either.
No, but we also can't. We should also be grateful that we're not Mets fans or fucking Royals fans right now. That every single year we know going into September 1st, more times than not, this team is going to be in a relevant pennant race and going to have the opportunity to go into what they call a crapshoot in October.
So, you know, you might have a little acid reflux. You go to the doctor. Doctor gives you a pill, and the doctor says, you could stand to lose 20 pounds. A side effect of this pill might be that you lose some weight, too. And you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. So,
Yeah. What
I really want to lose my acid reflux, but I might lose some weight, too. So that's pretty cool. That's what it's like for Hal Steinbrenner winning a championship. It's like the competitive ballpark-filling team that Brian Cashman puts together, a side effect might be that they might win a championship.
Right.
It's not like the intended cause of what the pill is, but it might be a positive benefit of what the pill does.
That's a great way to put it, and that's exactly how he views it. And do you blame him? He's not his father. His father didn't care about, and his father could have one person in the seats the entire season. If they were a championship-built team that was ready to win it all, that's all he cared about.
And this is maybe a conversation for the offseason. You know, there's, we all know the pluses and minuses with George, but I mean, because this is just a something that came up over the week and I wanted to talk to you about it. Like, and I said this on social media, and it's like, I'm not advocating for him to keep his job. I think the time, I think he's still a good general manager. I just think he's an outdated general manager, if that makes any sense.
So I've been saying that for years.
But if you were legitimately upset or shocked by that, then I don't know what you've been paying attention to. Because it's honest. Like, you know, sometimes like you don't really want to give your kid like a candy bar or something like that, and you, but you just, they're annoying you and you just, here, go away.
Just have a weak moment, yeah.
That's kind of, maybe not to that degree, but it's like, here, Brian, here's $330 million. Go play with it and leave me alone.
Well, really, I think it's gotten to a point now where it's pretty clear the dynamic here. Hal Steinbrenner's not the owner. Hal Steinbrenner's not in charge of this team. I think that's clear. He, you know, not so much this year, funny enough. We really haven't heard much from Hal. But in past years leading up to this year, you've seen Hal like get a little more involved and make statements of how important it is to win and all this. But at the end of the day, man, he's not in charge of this team. This is Brian Cashman's team. We all know it. It's, you know, Brian Cashman offering Brian Cashman whatever deal he wants.
You know, when I finally drew a line with Hal Steinbrenner, and I'm just like, it is what it is at this point, is when he went out there and he puffed his chest like a big boy, and he's like, I can do whatever I want, and we watched Juan Soto go to Queens.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. That's all you needed. Theater.
Well, let's hope the Yankees keep up the good theater here as they hit California, which I can't fucking believe. We're the first week of September, and an East Coast team has to go to California.
It's wild.
With all the ridiculous quirks in the schedule, where there's been three times this year the Yankees have faced a team twice in 9 days, that we're still going out on the West Coast in September, how we haven't figured out how to keep teams staying in their own time zones in September. We still haven't figured this out yet. But the Yankees will be in California this week, starting off with the Angels. And it's going to be on Monday. This is a 9:38 start. Elmer Rodriguez against Walbert Urania. And he's a pretty good pitcher in his own right. Urania pitching to a 2.94 ERA this year. And then the first day of September, Gerrit Cole is going to take on Grayson Rodriguez, this is the one pitching matchup that is definitely in the Yankees' favor. Rodriguez has not had a good year this year with a 6.03 ERA. And then the Yankees will wrap up the series on Wednesday, all 9:38 starts. Reed Detmers against Cam Schwitler. And Reed Detmers is pretty solid in his own right with a 3.54 ERA. The Yankees will have an off day before they hit San Diego. And, you know, if San Diego really, really pissed me off this weekend. They really did.
Yeah, well, now the Mets have an opportunity to piss you off.
Oh, you know they're going to lay down like dogs.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where we're at here. And hopefully where you're at is with a big click on that subscribe button to this very podcast platform you're listening to us on right now. As I mentioned last week, things did not work out as we had hoped on NYYU with the Bronx or Nowhere. That means we have more scheduled shows here through the rest of the regular season here for NYYST. So make sure you are subscribed so you can catch all the new episodes here as we wind down the final season of NYYST. I'm also going to be on NYYU just in a different role here. I'll be back there live on Thursday. So make sure you are subscribed to NYYU on YouTube. And please tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We love you guys so much. We want to thank you for all your continued support here of all, not just the final season, but all 10 seasons of NYYST. Excuse me there. I always get a frog in my throat. When I have like four words left to say, I don't know what it is. What do you think? What do you think the cause of that is?
Acid reflux, bro. Go call Hal.
You think that's what it is? I need to take that pill.
That pill.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to episode 545. Chris, say goodbye.
Peace.